to this podcast from NICE on the Rheumatoid Arthritis Quality Standard. I'm Katie Worrell, and with me are Professor Robert Moots and Dr. Louise Warburton. This NICE podcast focuses on two key improvement areas identified from the quality standard: timely GP referral to a rheumatology service, and the offer of combination medication to treat people with newly diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis. The podcast is relevant to GPs and rheumatology teams. The pertinent quality statements are: Statement 1. People with suspected persistent synovitis affecting the small joints of the hand or feet or more than one joint are referred to a rheumatology service within 3 working days of presentation. Statement 3. People with newly diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis are offered short-term glucocorticoids and a combination of disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs by a rheumatology service within 6 weeks of referral. The discussion explores what the two statements mean in clinical practice for GPs and rheumatologists.
Hello, I'm Robert Moots. I'm Professor of Rheumatology at the University of Liverpool, and I'm Consultant Rheumatologist at Aintree University Hospital here in Liverpool. And it's been my pleasure to be chairing the development of these quality standards. I'm very interested in rheumatoid arthritis, right through from basic science through to improving clinical care and clinical trials. So it's been very interesting seeing how this has actually developed.
And my name's Dr. Louise Warburton. I'm a GP from Shropshire and also a GP with a special interest in rheumatology. I was originally involved in the NICE guidelines for the management of rheumatoid in 2009. I've had a lifelong interest really in rheumatoid and patients accessing timely treatment when they develop rheumatic symptoms, and it's also been interesting to be involved in the quality standard recently.
And it's been great, Louise, to have somebody with your expertise and experience on this, and it's been nice that these standards have been developed with a panel of people covering a whole range of different experience and backgrounds. And primary care, I think, is particularly important here, because rheumatoid arthritis is one good example where primary care and secondary care really need to work together well for the best interests of the patients. Well, what do you feel from your angle, Louise?
Well, I think musculoskeletal symptoms are extremely common in primary care. About 20% of all consultations will be regarding joint pain or muscle pain. But the number of people who are actually presenting with a synovitis or a rheumatoid type condition are quite small, and as an average GP one might only see that once a year, so the skill base is often not wonderful out there in general practice, and there are lots of other things which take up our time. So raising awareness has always been part of my ambition in life, to try and raise awareness in general practice of the symptoms of rheumatoid and early referral as well.
Because I suppose from my angle, life's much easier because it's you guys in primary care that have to be thinking about rheumatoid arthritis. Once you've thought about it, that's the clever bit, and then you refer patients across to us and we can either confirm the diagnosis, or often it's nice that we can rule it out. But I think there's a big burden of things there in trying to understand more about primary care awareness and things like that.
Yes. I mean, for example, this morning I've done a musculoskeletal clinic and had a gentleman referred in, a young man with back pain, for all intents and purposes a straightforward sciatica, but the patient himself had had very significant symptoms, a swollen finger joint, a swollen knee, and he hadn't even, I don't think, discuss these with his general practitioner, and if it was not for somebody asking very pertinent questions about these joint pains and swellings, it would have been very easy to just overlook the whole of that, and he would have gone on then perhaps for several months developing something which could have given him lifelong problems.
And that's what it's all about, I think, really, that what we've learnt now in rheumatology is that if we can catch rheumatoid arthritis early, we can prevent damage, rather than in the olden days when we waited till somebody was almost in a wheelchair before
absolutely.
We treated them properly. So we can prevent that now, but we can only do that if we actually get to see the disease and if there's an awareness about it. So I guess from a primary care angle, there may be some of the statements that are a bit more of a challenge than others. What do you think is particularly challenging from your angle?
Well, from the primary care angle, the speed of referral in, the first quality statement suggests that patients with suspected persistent synovitis affecting small joints of hands and feet or more than one joint are referred into the service within 3 working days of presentation. Well, that is a challenge for general practice at the moment, because each new financial year we have a new set of QOF incentives. We've got fortunately got some for rheumatoid this year, which will raise awareness, but there are so many others that one has to take on board that and remember that 3 days is not long to be on the ball and to think this patient needs referring quickly.
And we had some very interesting discussions, didn't we, when we were drawing up the standards as to whether we should make it sooner or quicker than 3 days or longer. But at the end of the day, I think we've all agreed that the importance of rapid referral was important. Yes. And I can see what a challenge it would be to get that done so quickly. And I guess from our angle in secondary care, there are other parts of the quality standards that, you know, could be a challenge for us. And one particular one could be statement 3, where this statement for quality standard reads that patients with newly diagnosed rheumatoid arthritis are offered short-term steroid treatment and a combination of disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs by rheumatology team within 6 weeks of referral. And I suppose from our angle, that puts a lot of pressure on us to make sure we evaluate the patient properly. Yes. That might need a whole variety of things, blood tests, ultrasound, radiology, MRI, and then actually not just talk about drugs, but actually get them started. So again, I think from our angle, that could be a bit of a challenge
absolutely.
As well.
Yes, because I've been in the privileged position of working in a secondary care rheumatology clinic, and I know how long it takes to get back ultrasound reports, blood tests, MRIs, and you also have to bring the patient back. And it's not just us deciding that this patient needs a DMARD, it's the patient being involved in that decision and having a meaningful discussion with you about the future. And all that may take half an hour's appointment, and you can't fit that into a 5-minute follow-up, really, can you?
And that's one of the reasons that we've had within the quality statement so much reference to a multidisciplinary team, because if it's just down to one person, then clearly that's not in the best interest of things. And the fact that certainly in secondary care we have specialist nurses, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, all playing their role and all within that 6-week period of time making sure the patient's not just got the right information with diagnosis, investigations, but equally importantly have got a better understanding as to what's going on.
Yes, absolutely, because the patient needs to be engaged with the process to get the full benefit of the whole multidisciplinary approach.
And I think it's important that we remember that these are not just based on whims, that actually the work that you've been doing in establishing the guidelines with your colleagues have identified a really high evidence base to show that we do have a limited period of time in which to get on top of the disease. And if we can do that within what we call a window of opportunity, the outcomes for the patients are far better.
Yes, and from a general practitioner point of view, I know that my colleagues in general practice have been aware of the NICE guidance, but it's our impression that it's perhaps not being used or upheld, and we're still seeing lots of patients being put on monotherapies when perhaps they should have been put on a combination. Has that been your experience of your colleagues?
Yes, it's tricky really, because we all want to try and do our best, but we can sometimes forget that the evidence is really showing us that some ways are actually better than others.
Yes.
And what I really hope is that by publication and publicity of the quality statements, it'll help give us all a bit of a wake-up call. You know, are we really doing what's right? And, you know, if we are, we should be able to audit both from primary care and secondary care that we are doing this, because at the end of the day, the aim is to give the patients the best and the most best evidence-based care to keep them well, stop them deteriorating.
Yes, yes. It's a bit like coif, really, isn't it? We've had to take that on board, embrace it, but it has raised levels of care. It's been a bit of a painful process at times, but the outcome has been good. So this, I see this as a similar process for secondary care, really.
Yes, and I think the good thing is that when we start to audit our practice, this will be a good instrument to use as the gold standard, and then we can really try and understand about how well we're doing. And we can also measure it with outcomes from patients too.
Yes.
So I think all of those together, I really hope, will make a big difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much, Professor Moots and Dr. Warburton. We hope that you will find the information in this podcast useful in helping you implement the quality standard in practice. For more information about the NICE quality standard on rheumatoid arthritis, including access to the NICE implementation tools, which can all be adapted for local use, please visit our website, www.nice.org.uk. Please let us know what you thought about this podcast by completing the short questionnaire accessible on the podcast page or by emailing us, implementation@nice.org.uk.